Historical Necessity of the Third Angel's Message. Chapter 16. All united against the Anabaptists. But however bitter the opposition between Lutherans and Calvinists, and amongst the Lutherans themselves, and again, between all of these on one hand and the Catholics on the other, they could call a truce upon all their differences, and unite, all, Catholics, Lutherans, Zwinglians, and Calvinists, in one common onset against Anabaptists. The name Anabaptist signifies rebaptizers, and was applied indiscriminately to all who denied the validity of sprinkling for baptism, and especially of infant baptism, or sprinkling, rather. Before the period of the Reformation, there were, scattered throughout almost all the countries of Europe, and persecuted everywhere, lineal descendants, in point of doctrine, of the Albigenses and the Waldenses, who did not practice infant baptism, sprinkling, but held to the genuine doctrines of baptism, the sleep of the dead, and some to the true Sabbath. Of course, these doctrines caused them even then to be considered abominable heretics, but when, unfortunately, in the early days of the Reformation, some of the name ran into wild fanaticism, all of the name were classed together in it, and the severest of penal laws of those severe times were enacted against all who could be classed as Anabaptists. In almost all the countries of Europe, an unspeakable number preferred death in its worst forms to a retraction. Neither the view of the flames that were kindled to consume them, nor the ignominy of the gibbet, nor the terrors of the sword, could shake their invincible constancy, or make them abandon tenets that appeared dearer to them than life and all its enjoyments. And it is much to be lamented that so little distinction was made between the members of this sect, when the sword was unsheathed against them. Why were the innocent and the guilty involved in the same fate? Why were doctrines purely theological punished with the same rigor that was shown to crimes inconsistent with the peace and welfare of civil society? Those who had no other marks of peculiarity than their administering baptism to adult persons only, and their excluding the unrighteous from the external communion of the church, ought undoubtedly to have met with milder treatment than that which was given to those seditious incendiaries, who were for unhinging all government and destroying all civil authority. It is true that many Anabaptists suffered death, not on account of their being considered rebellious subjects, but merely because they were judged to be incorrigible heretics, for in this century the error of limiting the administration of baptism to adult persons only, and the practice of re-baptizing such as had received that sacrament in infancy, were looked upon as the most flagitious and intolerable of heresies. As before remarked, the Anabaptists became the one object of the attack of all parties, civil and religious. Their opposition to infant baptism somewhat disconcerted Melanchthon in the presence of the fanatics at Wittenberg. He owned that they had hit upon a weak point, and his doubts on this point led him to make the familiar statement, "Luther alone can decide the question of their inspiration." It was the fear of being landed in Anabaptism that was the reason that Luther did not face this question thoroughly. The Protestant Council of Zurich ordered that anyone who administered Anabaptism should be drowned, and the order was actually executed upon Felix Manz, who had formerly been associated with Zwingli at the commencement of the Reformation. One of the very earliest of Calvin's theological efforts was the composition of a book entitled Psychopomychia on the immortality of the soul in opposition to the Anabaptists in France. And the claim of the true Sabbath was not the least of the causes of Luther's bitterness against Karlstadt. England was not entirely exempt from these scenes, yet while exempt from some she was subject to others from which the continental nations were free.